time now for your comments. A lot of you responded to our report on errors in radiology treatments. Sue Hazelwood is a radiology technologist in New Orleans. She says, we identified a little-known danger for the millions of patients receiving intravenous iodine for some X-ray and CAT scan studies. What was apparent in your coverage is how often the onus is on the patient to be aware of the danger and to speak up.
That story also brought this letter from David Lindquist, a doctor in Providence, Rhode Island. He writes, I felt your story on so-called errors from CAT scans glossed over important clarifications. While the term error is used in the reporting of medical events, it may include adverse reactions that were not preventable, not simply foreseeable mistakes in judgment. Lumping these categories together, he says, improperly exaggerates the situation and raises unwarranted anxiety.
And in another story, after President Clinton talked of drug companies lowering the cost of some AIDS treatment in developing nations, Nicole Passini wrote from Phoenix, Arizona, I was disappointed by coverage of HIV/AIDS as an African, not an American problem. Ignoring the problems of HIV and AIDS in the U.S. only increases the chances that it will reach epidemic levels here.
We have a correction this morning for a story about Judge Samuel Alito's Senate confirmation hearings. We reported on questions about his failure to recuse himself from a case involving Vanguard Mutual Funds, a company, we said, in which he held significant amounts of stock. We should have said that Alito held shares of Vanguard Mutual Funds, not stock in the company itself.
And we reported last week that some of the facts in James Frey's enormously popular memoir about addiction called A Million Little Pieces were being challenged. Claudia Horner offered these thoughts. We all would do well to remember first and foremost that Frey is an addict, whether clean or not, and addicts are not known for truthfulness. Even so, his book resonates with deep truths about addiction, and I found it deeply illuminating. I think we should accept his book as the memoir of an addict, period.
Finally, some of you were concerned about a very particular fact, the way that we pronounce the name of one of Pluto's moons, which is spelled C-H-A-R-O-N. We said Charon, although space guys, like the person we heard in the story, emphasize both syllables equally as Charon. But listeners like Patrick Ivers in Laramie, Wyoming, write it's actually Charon.
To settle the matter, we called Jeff Chester at the U.S. Naval Observatory here in Washington. It was there that astronomer Jim Christie first discovered the moon in 1978.
Christie decided that he wanted to name it Charon, as he pronounced it, who is the ferryman in Greek mythology who rowed the souls of people across the river Styx into Pluto's domain. Now, proper Greek pronunciation should technically be pronounced Charon, but since Jim Christie's wife was named Charlene, he kind of decided that it would be a nice homage to her, and most people probably wouldn't know the difference.
We do now, and if there's anything else you'd like cleared up, just let us know. Go to npr.org and click on Contact Us.